what we'd decided was that we were going to have as many people there as possible and go and cut down or flatten or whatever the GM wheat crop there in the test bed before it pollinated. And this is something that many of us have done before in Britain, the first time round when GM really was driven out of Britain, so we thought we'd do it again. We're kind of exposed to a very, very aggressive public relations campaign, which had kind of got in ahead of us in framing it as an appeal from the scientists that their publicly funded research, which was for the good of humanity and feeding the world, shouldn't be destroyed by people who had a prejudice against GM, and that if they couldn't do the experiment, how would they ever know if it worked? Now, that campaign had been very successful in gaining the ear of the media and gaining a certain amount of sympathy among some very high-profile public figures. So we were in a position where we knew that if we went in, it would be portrayed probably as a big conflict. And we wanted to make sure that it wasn't seen as a conflict between us and the research people. So we were trying to figure out what to do. So we got there to the Rothamsted Park, and we found that the whole area had been cordoned off, and they'd invoked a law which says that temporarily you can go nowhere near this area. And there were loads of police. And then as we came into the park, they began to try and misdirect people away from the place that we chose. We went under some beautiful trees which had shade and began to set up. And then the police told us we couldn't be there and we'd have to move, or else they'd bring in another, it's called Section 14, they'd bring in another Section 14 and make us move. And then we said, nah, we're not going to move. And they said, oh, all right then, because they were bluffing. And then more people came and it was happening. It was great. And we had about 400 people, which for Britain, for a GMO protest, is a pretty good figure, even in the old days. We had we had music, we had speakers, we had a wheat farmer, you know, we had organic wheat farmer, we had a conventional wheat farmer, we had bread makers, we had people, we had a guy who spoke from Kenya talking about African agriculture, and a few other speakers too. And then we explained that in the light of the high security and in the light of the fact that we wouldn't be able to get through anyway, we had decided not to try and push our way into the site today, but that we would go as far as we could with linked arms so that people would see that we strongly registered our protest. And that was the idea of the French guys who came over, and it was brilliant. So we moved forward then in rows of about 16, 17, or even wider actually, with linked arms. And at the front we had the French guys with their French T-shirts. I can't remember the slogan. French, British, French, British. So we wanted to show that this is a European struggle too. And then we all just marched on very resolutely right down up to the front of the priest line. And then after a bit of shoving and pushing, we sat down and then read out a statement of what we were saying, really, and saying to the people who worked there. The media were all there, and they filmed it all. But of course, then the next day, really, they didn't say what we'd been saying. They just showed a few pictures and wrote the stuff the PR company gave them. So it's still hard work. But we did get some very good coverage out of it, and we got a chance to get on the national TV, Channel 4 News, which is very big, and have a good debate, which we won. And, I think in the end, it was great that we did it that way, because we were in a position where it would have been very hard to do it any other way and come out well. And I think now the ground has been laid, as I said, for potentially for a covert action against the crop. Or it's a two-year experiment. And although there is some risk of contamination, it is true in the way the experiment is designed and the nature of the crop, it's a very low risk. And so it's possible that we can tolerate that risk, but we can't tolerate the idea that it is now acceptable in Britain to test genetically modified crops when we have unanimously in this country rejected it. And the only reason it's coming back is because the biotech corporations have decided that they want to get their access to the European market. So we're going to resist, and we're going to join with our French brothers and sisters, and hopefully, if it comes to it, in Germany too, with you, because this is a European challenge. We are the one part of the world that has remained free of this, apart from bits of India where they haven't got the cotton, and we need to maintain that for our the integrity of our nature and also for the sense of the power of our people. I think how we feel about it now is that what we have done here is successfully restarted the campaign of building public awareness over GMOs, because we realized that in the intervening 10 years since really it was driven out of Britain, people to some extent have forgotten. A new generation has grown up, and the biotech industry has been working very hard over the last 6 months to penetrate government and to penetrate the media, which they've done successfully here and in Europe. And so we needed to get it back on our terms. And really, through what's happened here and through the debates we've been able to have now in the national media for the first time in the last few days, people are beginning, on the one hand, to remember that we are a country that where the people actually rejected this through direct action, and on the other hand, to begin to get other people to think about the questions. And one of the big questions for people now, in this current climate that we're in, is who is actually dictating the policy over research, and who's dictating where the money gets invested in research? What is the influence of the biotech corporation within our government? And I think that's the big issue that's come to the fore, because they've made it clear 6 months ago in a leaked document from Europa Bio, the PR company of the biotech corporations, that they aimed by May 2012 to change the attitude to GMOs in Europe and Britain. And here we are in May 2012, and they've overturned the European maize ban, GMO maize ban, and they have the first genetically modified crop pollinating in Britain for 10 to 15 years. So it's a very challenging time for us, but what happened was that people started, as a result of this weekend, I think that people have started to remember what it was about, and also to remember that it was us who did this. It was we, the people, who did this in Britain, and it's our money that they're spending on the research. The difficult thing has been to get away from this idea that we are anti-science and ignorant and fearful, and they represent progress, experiments, caring about the world. It's very well framed public relations attack. And I think it's part of a larger ideological attack, which there is now in the West. We've had it also with the resurgence in Britain of nuclear power, even after Fukushima. It's the idea which is now being put forward by some people who were environmental thinkers as well, that the way out of our ecological crisis is to really hand power to a technological elite, trust the corporations to carry it through, and really try and fix it with more technology, and not be afraid to do that. And I think the Green Movement here is possibly going to split over this as well.